98.1 Radio Free Santa Fe, and that was Crooked Still doing Can't You Hear Me Callin', also in there Up From the Skies from Jimi Hendrix on the radio. 4 o'clock now, and once a month we invite the editor of New Mexico Magazine, Dave Herndon, in to chat with us about the upcoming issue. The November issue looks beautiful, as they all do. First of all, Dave, congratulations. I know the staff there just picked up a big award regarding Most Improved Magazine, or something along these lines. Tell me a little bit about the award.
That's right. Thank you, Ira. We are members of something called the International Regional Magazine Association. It's made of 40 state, regional, provincial titles in North America, and based on 2011 content, we were named the most improved magazine in that association by independent journalism, you know, experts. So that was a really good shot in the arm for us.
Oh, I'll bet. And the 2012 issues will go down as the best magazine, I'm sure, when that award gets handed out.
Well, we can only hope.
I got my fingers crossed. You know, I know the new November issue of New Mexico Magazine coming out here is not the photograph or the photography issue, but I got to tell you, going through here, when you get back to the office today, go back and give your art director a pat on the back, because these are some of the most beautiful photographs of New Mexico that I've ever seen.
Well,
I mean, starting with the table of contents with the Great Sands, elephant. What is it?
White Sands.
Yeah, White Sands. What am I thinking? A White Sands monument photo that has the table of contents. And then just about every single article has some unbelievable photography. But some of the beautiful hotels that you feature, and it's just a really, really gorgeous looking magazine. So tell us a little bit about what we'll find inside November's issue.
Well, the cover story is about sort of some of the quirky destination hotels around the state. You know, New Mexico is not a cookie cutter state, and our hotels are not cookie cutter chain hotels. We've got, Ghost Ranch is on the cover, and of course, that's a retreat center come guest ranch, you know, where you can, you know, it's owned by a church, so there's a spiritual component there. There's paleontology. There's, of course, the Georgia O'Keeffe connection. So that's not your average everyday hotel.
Yeah, there's one that's in a cave. I saw
this Coca-Pelli's cave is up near Farmington, and it's got these, you know, it's got beautiful, you know, furnishings and decor in what is based is, you know, authentically a cave, which
if you want to relive and pretend you're the Flintstones.
Well, right. And if you want to, there is, I think at the Blackstone Hot Springs down in Truth or Consequences, there probably is a Flintstones room, because all the rooms are themed on TV shows. Mm-hmm. So maybe not the Flintstones, but the Jetsons, I Love Lucy, maybe you'd like the Golden Girls room, Ira. I don't know. But they all have these big, huge mineral baths.
How old do you think I am?
They've got these hot mineral baths in all these rooms that have these kind of kitschy, campy themes. And it's just a really fun place and a great getaway. Here in town, Inn of Five Graces, you know, it's right there on the Barrio de Analco there. And it's a little enclave that's owned by the Surrett family. If everybody knows their Central Asian furnishings, and it's like they really give all that stuff a workout at the Inn of Five Graces. Every square surface is covered with some, you know, exotic foreign, you know, material, fabric, woodwork, etc. And it's just incredible. It's out of this world, even though it's right there, you know, close to the plaza. We got the Earth ships in Taos. Everybody knows about them, I guess, in this listening audience. We've got Route 66 motels. These are kind of places that, you know, even if you live here, you just want to get away for a couple days. You know, you really, you're going someplace else. You're not going to just another hotel.
Well, the magazine certainly makes it attractive with those beautiful fall colors throughout the issue. And of course, we've got Halloween just a couple of weeks away now, or a little over a week at this point. And everybody loves this time of year for that holiday, and also the Day of the Dead. And I know you have a big feature on Day of the Dead in the new magazine, New Mexico Magazine, the November issue.
Right. There's a story about how they celebrate it in Mesilla, which is, of course, a very, you know, has a rich Hispanic tradition and a lot of Hispanic residents there still. And they take over their plaza, which is very atmospheric and, you know, historic. And dozens of families, you know, build shrines to their ancestors with, you know, the requisite skeletons, offerings of whatever they might have liked to eat or drink, personal mementos, et cetera, all in the spirit of bringing them alive and paying respect to them, you know, on this day. And some of these families have been doing that for every year for 100 years. Wow. So this is a real dyed in the wool, vital tradition, cultural tradition that goes way beyond the idea of just, you know, trick or treating on Halloween. It's a real reverent, you know, sort of only in New Mexico, if you're talking about the United States kind of cultural tradition.
Yeah, once again, the photographs on that article were real nice. I want to talk a little bit about the town of Raton, because the last couple of issues have featured just a little bit about Raton. There was an article on the sweet shop there when we were talking about some of the top drive-ins in the state, and now you finally kind of opened up to a full article on the town of Raton.
Right. Raton is, I mean, the gist of this article, which is written by a writer and photographer that lives there, is that, you know, while other New Mexico towns might have been discovered, small towns might have been discovered by people who have a taste for the quaint, the vintage, the authentic, etc. Small town New Mexico have kind of overlooked Raton, and they're at, you know, maybe they should give it another look, because if you go to the historic downtown district, you've got, you know, turn of the previous century architecture, and then you've got family-owned businesses, mom-and-pop-owned businesses, antique stores, bric-a-brac, vintage, a boots and western wear store where the gentleman started it after World War II, and he's still back there pounding away on repairing boots, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Just a, you know, kind of a quaint getaway, you know, that deserves, you know, a deeper look than the sort of passing through on the way in or out of the state.
Yeah, if you're headed north from Santa Fe, you could actually miss the downtown area, because you don't really see it from the freeway. But if you take that first exit, all of a sudden you're right there in the middle of it. You see these vintage old buildings. It's like you just wandered into a 1940s or 1930s movie.
Exactly. Real quick. Yeah, I mean, I think that's interesting.
Yeah, indeed. And one final item, you know, Bless Me Ultima is a movie that was actually filmed here in New Mexico. It got its Santa Fe debut just this week at the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival, and it opens today. What can you tell us about Bless Me Ultima, featured in the magazine?
Well, we've got a backstory that talks about the, you know, how the production came to be, and the writer was able to go on the set and get some observations and an interview with Rudolfo Anaya, of course, the author of that, you know, sort of most significant book in the history of New Mexico literature and Chicano literature. And 40 years later now, you know, a very faithful movie has been made that is very redolent of, you know, that slice of the northern New Mexico small town, you know, culture. And it's a great little movie that there's such a huge appetite for, particularly in this part of the state. And the opening was fantastic because Mr. Anaya was there and made remarks, as were some of the actors, and some of the cast and crew members and their family and supporters were there too in the opening. And it was a very, let's just say it was a hometown cheering section for the movie, and it was easy to get behind it because it is a really good little movie, and you sort of hope, you know, that it gets seen and, you know, gets wide distribution so that other people can see something about our state they don't know already. You know, the last movie, I guess, that would have had that kind of impact would have been Milagro Beanfield War, but this is, you know, this is a little more, it's different, but it's set in the same area. And so we hope that it can join, you know, those kind of movies that sort of, you know, put New Mexico on the map.
Yeah.
Celebrate the state. And there was at the end of the movie, there was a cry of Viva la Raza, you know, which was easy to endorse too, because Mr. Anaya made a point that, you know, the Chicano movie industry, you know, deserves more attention and support. And so I think we can all get behind that, and not just in a hometown way, because it is a genuinely, worthy movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, awesome, awesome. Well, this is the November issue of the New Mexico Magazine. We've been chatting with the editor, Dave Herndon, about the new issue. Is it on newsstands now?
It is on the newsstands as of today.
Okay, so it just hit newsstands today. Check it out in Chanada Hotels, from Ghost Ranch to Earthships on the cover, and great articles on Thanksgiving from Cheryl Alters-Jameson. If you want to cook yourself a New Mexico turkey later on in November, the town of Raton, Day of the Dead, and many, many other terrific articles. And as I mentioned, unbelievable photography. Once again, pat your art director on the back, Dave.
I will.
Okay, thanks for coming in. We'll chat in a month, and we look forward to Cheryl Alters-Jameson coming in to talk food with us here in the coming weeks, and also Candace Walsh, your co-editor, assistant editor, will be here, too, to talk about other articles in the magazine very soon.
Super.